Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A remarkable series of sculptures created by using weather data and the human response to severe weather is at the Mills Gallery at Central College through next week. Let's go in depth with artist Natalie Miebach from Boston. Natalie, where are you from?
I am from Boston, Massachusetts.
And you grew up there, go to school there?
No, I grew up in Germany and in France, and I came over to this country when I was 12 years old. My father worked for the Hubble Space Telescope, and we moved first to San Francisco for 2 years while they were building the Hubble Space Telescope, and then we ended up on the East Coast when the Hubble was up in the sky.
And your artwork at the Mills Gallery explores the relationship between storms, weather patterns, and humans? Is that how we should describe it?
Yes, it's very much about different weather stories. This particular exhibition focuses on storm systems and the human stories connected to them. So we have some pieces that focus on one particular storm and other pieces that combine different storm events together.
Well, what's so interesting to me about them is that you use the meteorological data and you somehow model that three-dimensionally and with colors and integrate the human stories. But I mean, it's data-driven, right?
It is, yeah. So the work is very colorful, and a lot of times when people first see it, they think it's for children because it has a lot of primary colors, there's lots of references to toys, and all of that is deliberate. I'm trying to lure people into these pieces without immediately telling them that it's based on scientific data. And so once you're in the piece, and you make these, and you enter these pieces through that lens of play, you begin to notice that every one of these pieces has little tags on them. These tags have numbers. They might indicate wind directions, or maybe there might be a latitudinal directional marker, or there might be a time marker. And so you begin to realize that behind all that visual chaos is a numerical logic that's holding it together, and that's the weather. So the reason I got interested in this is because I'm very interested in science, but I'm also a learner that has to make things in order to understand them. I'm a tactile learner. So one of the reasons I gravitated towards sculpture is because for me it was a way of addressing questions I had about science through a sculptural medium. So it's not a coincidence that everything here is sculptural, because I make these things in order to try to understand what weather is, how it behaves, and how we as human beings respond to weather, how we, especially nowadays with these very dramatic weather changes going on, how do we respond to them? How do we learn to live with this changing climate?
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with artist Natalie Miebach. Well, let's talk about one of your pieces. This is, I don't even know how to describe it. Why don't you describe it for us?
Okay, so one of my favorite weather stories is The Perfect Storm, which was the storm system that came through New England in 1991. And Sebastian Junger wrote a book called The Perfect Storm, which tells the story of a fishing vessel called the Andrea Gale that sank during the storm. And then Hollywood made a movie out of it. And so it's a story that a lot of people who may know nothing about weather, a lot of people have heard about that storm. And the reason I'm interested in this particular storm is that it's a really interesting meteorological story, because it was really two storm systems that interacted together. So the wall piece we're looking at is actually a map of these two storm systems that were interacting. So on the bottom, you have this woven green platform, and that is Bermuda. And surrounding or wrapping around Bermuda are these arms that look almost like piano keyboards, And these arms, these strings, or somebody has already also thought of them as railroad tracks, they wrap around, and this is Hurricane Grace. This was a hurricane that was dying off of Bermuda, and it was wrapping around Bermuda. Above there, you have the string of blue dots with these pinwheels. This is a Halloween storm that happened at the same time. It was up in the New England area. And it took this very strange path in that it wrapped around. It went towards the west and wrapped back south and went back north. And as it did this sort of loopy motion in the north, it sucked up the energy from Hurricane Grace as it passed by it and created this massive storm called the Perfect Storm. It was one of those storm systems that scientists were always thinking could happen maybe in a model but would never happen in real life, and then it did happen. And above this, the Halloween storm, this chain of blue dots, are these woven mats that are indicating geographic areas in the ocean. So one of them is the Grand Banks, where there's a little paper boat. This is where the boat, the Andrea Gale, was fishing at the time, and then it turned back just as the storm was getting fiercer and fiercer, and it turns back, and there's these white dots that slowly turn into white dots, and they lead to this tiny woven mat with a little slither of a green rope on it, and that is Sable Island. That is where the boat is supposed to have sunk during the storm. So this wall piece is really a kind of map of those two storm systems coming together to create the perfect storm.
Wow, and it's like 11, 12 feet tall and 9, 10 feet wide.
Yep, it's pretty big.
Wow.
And so all these strips of paper that have these white and black dots on them are actually piano keyboards. So the information that's being translated here is wind and barometric pressure, and it's transposed onto these piano keyboards. So the idea is that not only is it kind of showing you the path of the storm and how the storm moved through the over the water, but it also gives you an indication of how you might be able to translate that into sound.
Okay, and so you're using data, you're expressing it in different kinds of data, multidimensionally.
Yeah, so one of the things that I find very fascinating about data is that data itself is sort of meaningless. It's we who impose and create meaning with data. And I find data extremely poetic. And the reason why I go into, for example, music and sculpture is to find ways to tap into the poetry of data, the stories behind the scientific way that we are so used to confronting data or seeing data through a graph. But there's so much below it.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with artist Natalie Miebach.
So let's move over to this other piece on the wall, which is continuing with this idea of the perfect storm, but now rather than building a physical installation on the wall, I translated it into a musical score. And so this is a musical score based entirely, made entirely out of weather data that again tells the story of the Andrea Gale as it sank near Sable Island. So it's divided up into three different sections, and each section is based on a geographic area where the boat happened to be during the progression of the storm. So it begins on October 26, 1991. The Andrea Gale is out in the Grand Banks. All the data that's being translated on the score is barometric pressure and wind. And the boat is out there fishing. They're on their last round. They got debt they have to cover, so they are staying out longer than they should, because they need the money. Then the second act takes all the data from Sable Island. This is where the vessel is thought to have sunk during the night of October 29th. And at 6 p.m., we have the last radio signal from the vessel, which is the captain saying, she's coming on strong. That's the last word that we have from the vessel, and then at midnight, somewhere around midnight or 2 o'clock, the boat sinks. Then we go on to the third act, which is actually prefaced by a fishing shanty called The Ghostly Crew. And this fishing shanty tells the story of these two ships that crashed into each other during a storm. One ship survived, one didn't. But after that crash, the ship that survived was thought to be haunted. And every time that a ship has been in peril somewhere on the ocean, it is thought that this ghostly crew of sailors comes on shore, comes onto the boat that is in peril, and tries to save the boat. So it begins with this ghostly crew of sailors, in a sense, trying to save the Andrea Gale. And then the third act is written from the perspective of the loved ones waiting for the ship to come back. This is all weather data from Gloucester, Massachusetts, where they're waiting for the ship to return, which of course it never does. And to me, these musical scores are basically, they look like graphs. They don't really look like musical scores at all, but they're like these visual graphs that, to me, contain many, many stories. So once you have all that data set out on this visual format, you can tell many stories about the storm. You can focus only on the wind, for example. How does the wind behave during the storm? You can only focus on the night that the ship was in peril. You can only focus on the waiting of the loved ones coming home. So, in other words, in one story are 100 stories. And each of them kind of digs into a different lens into how this storm might be interpreted through a more human lens.
And you have to pull it all together. How do you do that? Do you read histories? And then you get the data, media accounts? I'm sure that
lots of different things. For example, right now I'm collecting a lot of information on Hurricane Maria. So one of the things about storms is that there's this big meteorological event, the storm. But then the story about the storm continues long, long after it has already left. So with Hurricane Maria, for example, while it was going on, I collected a lot of data from the internet, from weather stations, from NOAA, from Weather Underground, any kind of weather source on the internet that would give me information about the storm. But now I'm still reading on Maria. What's happening in Puerto Rico a month afterwards, 2 months afterwards, 3 months afterwards? So the story continues, and all of that gets compiled. So I sit for quite a while on the data that I'm using, because it's not just the scientific data. You also want to understand sort of how is the storm understood during the recovery efforts.
But how do you put in a three-dimensional work of art, a sculpture, how do you put in that months later they still don't have electricity, many of them? How do you
So for example, right now, this piece is not here in the gallery. It's still being worked. I'm actually still building it in my studio. But the piece that I'm building right now on Maria, there is a chain of electrical poles that are interspersed on this raft. So imagine a big raft, a raft that you would find in an open ocean. And on this raft are all these electrical power lines and power poles. And these electrical power lines and power poles are intertwined, are connected through strings that translate the data. So you have these sort of metaphors of the electrical power lines that are still being repaired, but they also are the pillars that the physical pillars that are used to translate the data on top. So that's sort of how it begins.
So
waiting on a story reveals metaphors that tell a more, you know, the more poetic part of a storm.
Okay, so your exhibit is at the Mills Gallery in Central College through March 29th.
Correct. Yes.
All right, now I've two related questions for you. One is, have meteorologists that covered or know these events, have they looked at your work, and what is their reaction if they have? Mm-hmm. And two, the people that lived through it, just regular everyday people, mm-hmm. have they looked at it and come to any conclusions about the work?
Yes, so one of the, really the most fulfilling part about doing this work on weather is that every human being on Earth has a weather story. Whether you have gone through a storm of like a hurricane or not, everybody has some sort of experience with weather that they are willing to share. So I've had complete strangers come up to me, not knowing what the work is about, not knowing even the science behind it or what the hurricane is, and come up and tell me a story, an experience that they've had with weather. So including people who have been through these storms, and sometimes translating these experiences through visual sculptures like this or through musical interpretations and musical performances, I think it's been actually very, there have been many people who have responded to them very well. It gives voice to something that a scientific graph just cannot tap into. So there's been some pretty positive responses. In terms of meteorologists, I actually find that the people who get the most out of this work are not necessarily scientists, but teachers who are trying to teach science. So they love having examples of three-dimensional visualizations of science. And so they've really tapped into this work and trying to figure out how to bring that into the classroom, trying to get kids to think more in 3D in terms of how scientific systems interact with each other.
And the reaction of the kids when they show up?
That's the funny thing. Kids don't need this kind of work. They get it. They understand that, you know, you can play, and through play you actually learn something. So they respond to this work no different than they would to a toy. It's, I think, the adults that have a bit of a problem with it sometimes. They have to kind of just accept the fact that this is a visual puzzle, and you have to figure it out. And yes, it is a reference to play. So I think it's the adults that it challenges the adults more than it challenges the kids.
Thanks to artist Natalie Miebach for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.